In the name of Jesus, amen. That's a really good song. I like that one. So glad we're able to have some extra musicians, these wonderful strings players, here with us this morning to help lead us in singing it. How beautiful. How beautiful. It's based first on Isaiah 52, where the prophet sings, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring the good news. The picture is something like this. You're down and out. You're out of hope. You've cried your last tear. You're sure the battle is done. But then low on the horizon. At first you think it must be a mirage or some sort of wish fulfillment. But no, it really is him. It's the fleet-footed messenger of the king sprinting from the battlefield. And he's too far away, a couple mountains over. So you can't yet hear what he's saying. But you can already see by the way his feet dance. You can tell that by the way his feet dance, that what he brings is good news. And it turns out you have more tears after all, not just tears of sadness, but now a tear of joy. How beautiful the feet and the mountains that bring the good news. It's a great song, I think. Simple words and tune, kind of one of those earworm things that stick with you. But more great for the way it sings, not just of the feet, but of the hands and hearts and eyes, the beautiful hands and heart and eyes and feet of the one who would fulfill what Isaiah first sang about of Jesus. How beautiful the hands that served the down and out, and the feet that walked with the out of hope, and the eyes with nary a look that forgave the lost. We know these stories. And finally, the heart that bled for all the battle scarred. How beautiful the whole body of Jesus, of Christ. But then the really cool thing, the movement of the song. How beautiful the radiant bride, the bride of Christ. The church. How beautiful when she, with humble hearts, give the fruits of pure lives, and how beautiful their feet that run with the good news, that turn sad tears to joy tears, and the hands that serve not just bread and wine, but food and time to the sons and daughters of earth. You see, the song is singing at the same time this beautiful, but also a little bit scary truth that today. That today, the feet of Jesus wear loafers purchased from the SPCA rummage store. That today, the eyes of Jesus wear corrective lenses like these. The hands of Jesus, if you want to know what the hands of Jesus look like today, well, they're attached to the end of your arms, so just hold them up. Behold, the hands of Jesus. That's what this song is singing about, moving towards, what Scripture testifies of, that we are the hands and feet and eyes and heart of Jesus, the body of Christ. Back in the day when I sat out there in the pews, I remember a sermon, Pastor Carrot, interim pastor before I came here. He's a very good preacher, a good pastor too. And he wasn't bragging, but he was telling a story. Don't remember the specifics, but he'd spent some time. I don't even remember if it was a parishioner or someone he knew otherwise. And again, I don't remember the specifics, but he'd spent some real time at her bedside, or maybe it was bringing meals and listening, or I don't know exactly what it was. But whatever it was, after this extensive time of him being physically present with this woman, as he went to leave, she reached out and grabbed his hand and said, Pastor Dave, I've just got to thank you for being Jesus' skin today. For being Jesus' skin. It's a weird thing to say, isn't it? Or maybe at least a weird way to say it, but you get the picture about what she meant. Jesus' skin. Thanks for being a hand I could actually hold. Feet that really came to me. Eyes that I could look into. Thank you for being a heart that if I'd had a stethoscope, I could literally hear beating for me. Thank you for being Jesus' skin, the body of Christ. I wonder if you can relate to that. I kind of hope you can, at least hope all of us, at least in some small way, can think of someone or some ones who have been the skin of Jesus for us. Someone who's been the hand or the foot or the eye or the heart that's held or run or cried or broken for you. We, of course, talk a lot about faith, trust in God coming through hearing the word, and that is absolutely true, and it's absolutely in the Bible, but I'm pretty sure it's also true, and it's also certainly in the Bible, that for most of us, whenever we really get God, or maybe it's better to say, whenever we really get gotten by God, it's because that getting came with some skin. That it wasn't just a word, but a word that became flesh for us. That we experienced the love of Jesus through someone else, like Pastor David, that woman. We've actually been touched, been held, been forgiven, literally and tacitly, or tactily, I should say, and fleshly by somebody. Our epistle lesson for this day begins, by this we know love. And that word know, it's more than simply a know in your head. It means to experience, to know deep down. And when you're a person made of flesh and bones, knowing it deep down almost always means knowing in a fleshy and bony way. That's why the epistle goes on to say it's a horrible thing when we close our hearts. Literally, when we shut our guts to the real need, the real physical needs around us. That's why I said it's a scary thing for God to call us and use us as his body. Because it's so easy to close our hearts. To almost make a habit so that it comes naturally of shutting our guts. That rather than when we see that need going, oh. Instead of immediately making excuses, well, I wonder how they got that way, or it's someone else's job or someone else's fault. Responding like that instead of seeing a body that needs to be touched by the body. I put a picture in our bulletin again today. Kind of getting into that. I've had some pictures, huh, last few weeks. It's a picture of a particular piece of liturgical furniture, I guess you might call it, that you don't typically see in Lutheran churches, but very often in Roman Catholic churches. It's called a monstrance. Monstrance, M-O-N-S-T-R-A-N-C-E, a monstrance. And the purpose of a monstrance is this, that what they'll do is they'll take a piece of the bread which is consecrated to be the body of Christ in the Lord's Supper. And they'll take that a leftover piece, and they'll put it in the monstrance. They'll put it in the monstrance, and that will go like up on the altar to show or demonstrate the body of Christ. So if you're Catholic, you come into church, that's the reason you bow, because the body of Christ is up there. But then for our purposes, there's also a time in the church, a particular festival, the Corpus Christi festival, the body of Christ, in which the monstrance with that little piece of the body of Christ is taken out into the streets. In Valencia, Spain, they have a monstrance which is over 1,000 pounds. Gold and silver and platinum and pearls and precious stones. It's amazing. Has to be pulled by horses through the streets. And the idea is that when the monstrance comes by you, it's not just you being blessed by a man. But since the body of Christ is there, that's you being blessed by the body of Christ, and so you'll fall in reference to this body of Christ being paraded through the streets. Now, again, most Lutherans don't have a monstrance in the church. And there's reasons for that. Not a time to get polemical against our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, but I suppose main reason, at least one reason, is that we Lutherans like to stay pretty close to the word. And since when Jesus takes that bread, he says, take and eat, this is my body. Not take and put it in a monstrance or take it and put it in a parade. We take that pretty seriously. Say, this is Jesus' body given for me to eat, not to
do something else with. So we don't have these monstrances. Or perhaps it's better to say we don't have that kind of monstrance in our church. We don't have monstrances made of silver and gold and platinum and precious stones because God has chosen to make his monstrances out of something much more precious, more beautiful than pearls to take the body of Christ into the street. God has made you. You are God's monstrance. You are the hands and feet and eyes and heart through which God demonstrates, shows, parades his love to a world full of battle-scarred and out of hope and out of tears who think they may be out of time. God's monstrance. And that may be a little bit scary, at least it is to me. You think that God in all his wisdom could have come up with a better plan than to show his love to a needy world than through our messy hands and dragging feet and too often closed hearts. But that's the plan. That's God's plan. God's promise and God's plan is this. He says, I've created you. I loved you with an everlasting love and I've redeemed you to be my own. I baptized you and I've made you mine now and forever. When you gather around me, I place my body and blood into you as a down payment on eternity. Now as my body of Christ, go be my skin. Go demonstrate. Go parade. If it happens to be Shine Week at your church, perhaps stay after Sunday that week and put together some snack bags or knit a hat or write more than a few words in a note to an inmate letting him or her know that there is someone out there with real skin and real hands and real eyes and a real heart that knows them and loves them. Or don't do that. Do something else. Be skinny in some other way. How beautiful the creative mind that imagines new ways to be the body of Christ. How beautiful. See, it'll stick with you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.